Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, so everybody just reeling over this. Oh, my God, our chance of diplomacy is gone. Forever with Iran. Yeah, so?
Diplomacy? We don't need no stinking diplomacy.
Yeah, I mean, and these people are state sponsors of terror. I mean, it's not like, you know, they act like, oh, okay, well, they were totally rational until Donald Trump was elected. But then after that, they got crazy. I mean, it's his fault. No, I mean, they were not. They were not rational. They were terrorists. They've always been terrorists. I mean, they have, in the last decade, promised to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. I mean, to act like they were rational actors until Trump set them off. I mean, I can't believe how the media is treating this. I mean, but anyway, if you listen to the words of Rouhani, right? The White House is afflicted by mental retardation and calling the sanctions outrageous. When I heard that, I went, wow, those sanctions hit the bullseye, didn't they?
Well, sound like they're more Democrat talking points.
Well, yeah, I know. That's the thing to call Trump dumb, like they do.
Yeah.
That is straight. Yes, it's straight out of the Democrat wheelhouse. I mean, they sound like Democrats.
Maybe the Iranians are plagiarizing Democrats now. They're pulling a Joe Biden.
Well, isn't it funny that they sound the same?
Yes, well.
Telling, I would say. Extremely telling. But anyway. So you got all that stuff going on. The funny thing is the Iranians, man, they were ready for war. They could not wait. The Democrats had their talking points ready to go. The Iranians had their talking points ready to go. Who knows? Maybe they coordinated. Wouldn't surprise me. And, man, they were waiting for that hit by Trump. They could not wait. They thought this was going to be the coolest thing ever. They could scream and yell about the dictator and all that. And he didn't hit them. He did the one thing they don't want.
Yep.
He jacked the sanctions up. They didn't see that coming. You can tell by the way they're screaming. They did not see that coming at all, which is awesome. Because you know, when you look at what they did, basically the current sanctions keep 80% of Iranian oil from being sold. And this is their economy is largely based on the sale of that oil. And so they are really, really hurting. Well, Trump just said, okay, I'll take the other 20% then. You must not want to sell it. And he has put their back up against a wall. I mean, Rand Paul nailed it this morning.
Currently, from the Iranian perspective, they see the sanctions as an act of war, cutting off their ability to sell any oil to Asia, which the previous sanctions actually allowed them to sell some oil. Mm-hmm. It's actually, I think, becoming so stringent that they have a couple possibilities. They say, oh, we're sorry, and we're going to negotiate, or they say, we're really, really mad, and we're going to fight. Unfortunately, it looks like we've got their back up against a wall, and I think we're more likely to have more military confrontations than we are to have diplomacy.
Yeah, I don't think it's unfortunate, though, that we have them up against the wall. And he said what he meant by that was when he said unfortunately, he meant, you know, they'll probably challenge us militarily because we have their back up against the wall. I don't think that's unfortunate at all. But this yowling is a sign that what Trump is doing is working. Mm-hmm. And yet he still won't get credit for it.
No, of course not. And you know, in all the usual left-wing media outlets, it'll be because of this manufactured crisis that he has created.
Right, yeah. I mean, look, they had things perfectly fine. If you want to understand the Iran deal, it's very easy to understand. Obama paid Iran to say that they had stopped enriching uranium, while putting everything in place to allow them to continue enriching uranium without us catching them.
Yeah.
And I mean, so when you talk about a manufacturer, that was a manufactured Obama victory. He bought a victory. It was kind of brilliant, actually. You know what I mean?
In an evil, twisted kind of way, yes.
Yeah, it kind of was. I mean, in Iran, us? No. Well, can we come in and check? No. You got to wait 24 days before you can come in. Just enough time for us to clean up the evidence.
Yeah.
Were you going to shut down the facility that's been the point of contention in sanctions and debates and all, you know, everything, negotiations with Iran? You going to shut down the main heavy water facility? Oh, well, no. I mean, you don't use it for energy. It's only for weapons making. Yeah, we know. We're going to keep operating it. So, I mean, if you want to, what were the pallets of cash for? they were to pay Iran to claim that, one, hey, we signed on to the deal, it's awesome, and two, we're not enriching anything at the facility that we run only to enrich uranium. We're not. That was what Obama bought. Think about this for a minute. I was thinking about this morning. Suppose in the middle of all of this, right, Trump had been caught, I don't know, sending pallets of cash to Iran in foreign donations.
Yeah.
Now, let's have a thought exercise, seriously. How would that have gone for him? I think they might have impeached him.
Well, they'd accuse him of colluding with the Iranians.
Yeah. State sponsors of terror, pallets of cash, lied to Congress about it. I think we'd be talking impeachment. I seriously do.
Well, if you want to talk about impeachment, and I know that's not this impossible, you can't impeach someone out of office, but somebody needs to do something about Kerry and his cohorts going around trying to disrupt negotiations between this country and Iran during a situation like this.
Yeah, they're one of the biggest problems that we have because they embolden Iran by letting them think, oh, hey, just wait till we get
right
in office.
Exactly.
We'll start paying you again. And, you know, in a weird way, I got it. The leader of Iran was on television. They've got, like, they're translating him below. And he was saying, well, he's one of the leaders anyway. And he was saying, listen, you guys, I mean, you don't stick to your signatures. And that one's being played over and over on cable. You break your word. You don't stick to your signatures. They're shocked. They had this great deal. They were being paid to say they weren't enriching right uranium while they were enriching uranium, military grade. That was the deal. I mean, they literally don't understand why it has changed. He's not wrong about that. They're like, well, y'all were going to pay us to pretend that we're not enriching uranium. Why won't you do it anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a kid that says, well, Mom, you were letting me stay up till midnight during school. It's not fair. Now I got to go to bed on time.
Excuse me, Mr. Ayatollah Khomeini, but elections have consequences.
Yeah, they do. So frustrating. So anyway, yeah, so that's what's up with Iran. So anyway, Trump did the one thing they didn't want. That's why they're screaming like a scalded cat.
Yep.
I mean, and they're still on the Democrat talking points. Did you see this? Iran warns U.S., quote, thirst for war means permanent closure of diplomacy. Well, we didn't hit y'all. You hit us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they haven't even changed the talking points.
Who's thirsty now?
Exactly. Exactly. So, it's all crazy. What's on your mind today?
Well, I mean, this whole thing is still, I think, the way it's being misrepresented is probably the worst part about it. And as you've said, the way that Trump is being portrayed as the one who's responsible for all this. And it just goes to show the false narratives that keep getting pushed by the left-wing media, that the immigration border situation is Trump's fault, that the Iranian situation is Trump's fault, that the North Korean situation is Trump's fault. And speaking of the immigration thing, here's one point. I've been seeing this going around social media because so much of this whole immigration thing is nothing but emotion. That's all we get from the left is about emotion. Is it horrible that children are being separated from their parents? Gee, I hate that. But you know what? Let's look at how that happened, how these people were bringing these children, some of which aren't even theirs to begin with, into this country. And then there was the whole thing about where they had some Democratic hearing where they cornered some Trump official with the Border Patrol into talking about how that she had to admit that maybe they didn't have toothpaste and toothbrushes. My question should have been ma'am, is the Trump administration taking the toothbrushes and toothpaste from them as they come across the border, or did their parents not supply them with that either as they were coming across the border?
Yes, and how did they get there? Well, their parents sent them.
Right.
That's how they got there.
Either sent them with someone that was not their parents or brought them with them.
Or sold them to somebody
yeah,
who was
exactly
not their parents.
Exactly. So
for use by the cartels.
I mean,
yes.
Believe me, I am concerned about the dental hygiene needs of these children. They are being used as pawns, but they're not pawns of the Trump administration. They're pawns of the Democrats because of the policies that their judges and their lack of any type of action on the border. And quite honestly, as the Republicans are trying to say, and as you point out, I realize this is Republicans' fault too, but Congress is not funding enough on the border to take the influx, the increase, the dramatic increased number of people that are coming across the border to handle it. That's where the problem is. It's not that the Trump administration is trying to create conditions that are not humane. It is that you have an inhumane policy through the judiciary and through the lack of action of Congress, which is enticing these people to stream across the border. And then you're not funding enough to do anything to assist these people while they make the transition, whether it is to be deported or rejected or to allow them into this country.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there was a commentator on Fox this morning who just lost it. And was like, listen, the Border Patrol went before the Democrat Congress. It's been like 2-3 weeks now to beg for more money. And they just ignored them.
And Democrats are holding up the vote.
Yes, they're holding up the vote.
Right now. They won't vote for it.
When you want to know, I mean, do children have blankets? Do they have toothpaste? 11,000 of them were dumped at our border in May alone. And the Trump administration did the one thing that they could do. They went to Congress to beg for money. ICE went to Congress to beg for money. The Department of Homeland Security went to Congress. They said this is an unprecedented disaster. And the members of Congress screamed at them about the conditions in the camps, you know, at the border, and then, or whatever you call them, detention facilities. And then they just ignored it.
Yeah.
So what the Democrats are doing, you want this really simple, is they are denying the funds needed to handle the disaster they created and are refusing to fix, then pointing at the president and saying how cruel he is because he doesn't have enough funds and resources to get every kid a dang toothbrush.
They create the problem, refuse to fund the solution, and then blame the opposite party.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
it.
And I mean, the amount of cynicism you have to have toward children to do that, to use them like that.
Well, you know, Tara, we should be careful and be like Nancy Pelosi. We won't think about, you know, what the reasons are behind this now.
No, we can't think about that.
No.
And I mean, I would go so far just to say the Democrats are deliberately underfunding this to create a crisis that literally does endanger the lives of children.
That's exactly what's going on.
Because, you know what, I mean, there was one news report I heard this morning. Some of these kids have the flu. They haven't been treated. Yeah, there's 11,000 of them in May. I mean, that was May. The Democrats want that. They want it. They could end it by noon today by closing the loophole that says if you got a kid that you can get across the border, and then they just dump them there when they don't need them anymore. They could end it. That's why the kids are there. They're there because of them. They act like, Lee, that they were dropped off by literally like aliens in a spaceship.
Yeah, exactly.
They just came out of nowhere for no reason. No, it's because you guys won't fix the loopholes. So, you know, when I get texts like the ones that we got below, my coworker says that these kids don't have, they don't need that ever blankets and the toothbrushes and Trump is bad. Tell her why they're there. It's not Trump's fault. He's done everything he can to spare these poor kids their suffering.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, a few things people agree on. I remember when I was a kid. I mean, I can't tell you the year. Gosh, if you could tell me the year, I'd be impressed and give me evidence. The year that everybody started using the word awesome. That is awesome, man. That is way cool. I don't know, but it was when I was a kid. But old enough to remember that, like, there was one year where all of a sudden everybody started using the word awesome. Producer Chris, what?
Do you remember rad?
Oh, gosh. No, rad died, as it should have. How long did that last? Like, just a couple of years, right?
It was a significant portion of the 80s.
Was it? Did it last that long? Maybe I'm blocking it out because I don't want to remember it. Man, dude, that's rad. But awesome stuck. Well, a new survey asked people to name the top slang terms they use to describe something that's positive or favorable across all generations, geezers and young people. The top three are awesome, cool, and nice. Okay, nice, not surprising. Now, I looked up cool, okay? Cool, that was the only one I could find. Cool dates back to the 1930s. So that's actually really old. I would have thought it would have been more modern. Maybe like 60s or 70s. But no, it dates back to the 1930s. And it subsided a bit during World War II. I guess nothing was cool then. And then made a big reappearance in the 50s. Well, okay. So, but I wish I could pinpoint a year because I know it was in my lifetime, but I just don't know exactly what year. Anyway, no matter how old you are, you probably use the words cool and awesome. These two words, tied overall, 56% of people rank them as one of the top three items they use the most. 62% of boomers, 62% of Gen X. See, okay, boomers, let's see. Yeah, boomers would have gotten this from their, well, from younger generations, right? Because, I mean, I think it definitely was my generation started using awesome a lot. So, I mean, it would have spread upward and downward across age. Anyway, 62% of Gen Xers, 47% of millennials. And, of course, the third word on all three lists is nice. Eh, that's been around forever. So the top terms for boomers are awesome, cool, and nice. Neat and superb. Nobody says neat. Not like under 60. For Gen X,
neat.
Do you? That's neat? Oh, that's so neat. All right, maybe. For millennials, it's cool, awesome, nice, dope. Really?
I personally don't use dope, but I do have friends that use it.
That's dope, man. Is that how they use it? Well, wait, no. Millennials are saying neat. Okay, so that's normal. Cool, awesome, nice, dope, and neat. Older Americans are more likely to say awesome, cool, superb. I mean, heck, they can still spell that maybe even. Neat and, oh my gosh, far out. That's so bad.
Now that's a 60s term.
Yeah,
right,
that is, you are so dating yourself. I mean, if you're using the term far out, you probably are wearing a dad shirt, t-shirt, or worse yet, a grandpa one, right?
You might be Tommy Chong.
You might, yes. Okay, so, and young people are much more likely to use these five terms: dope, lit, fire, sick, and Gucci. Yeah, Crash uses sick all the time. He's like, that's sick.
You know, one of them that that bothers me when I hear it is legit.
Oh, remember Too Legit to Quit?
And that I was do, as a matter of fact.
Actually cool. Too Legit to Quit. Oh, God, please don't play it. All right, maybe do. I don't know. Yeah, and Gucci. Is Gucci still around? I don't know. I guess they are. Anyway, dope, lit, fire, sick, and Gucci. So there you go. So memorize those. You can understand what your kids are talking about. You can, like, you know, jive with them, right? Remember the word jive? Okay. Anyway, just interesting that no matter your age, you probably use the words cool and awesome. Which is just, you know, awesome, I guess. Hey, Lee.
Hey there.
Okay, so we just saw a study that showed that the word cool, awesome, and nice are used by pretty much every generation.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I remember awesome becoming a thing, like using that word like in my lifetime. I just don't know when. I just can't remember when, but it seemed like all of a sudden everybody was saying it, right?
It was in the 80s. I was there.
You were? See, yes. I don't really remember.
It was totally awesome.
Was it?
Yes.
Thanks, Dad.
Now, Tara, I actually went and looked this up for you.
Awesome.
Because
okay.
My Google foo is strong.
See, awesome. I didn't even mean to do that. I really didn't. Okay.
And I thought you deserved an answer.
Thank you. I do.
And so I went to one of my favorite websites, which is etymonline.com, the online etymology dictionary.
Oh, yeah. Which, of course, being a grammar Nazi like yourself, you would have access to
love
a thing
it.
Like that. Right. Okay.
Love it. No subscriptions or anything. You can just go there and find out about words. So awesome entered the English language in the late 16th to mid 17th century with the sort of traditional definition of awe-inspiring or dread-inspiring. But the weakened colloquial sense, they write, of impressive or very good is recorded by 1961 and was in vogue from after around 1980.
Yes. Okay. Now that, yeah. I think because, see, a lot of people are texting us that it started with Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Could have been.
With Spicoli.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Would use it. And that's 1982. And,
yes.
And there is a quote where he uses the word awesome, Spicoli does, in the way that we use it.
Right.
Now. So we know it was at least in use by 1982.
Films like that are, you know, things that generally push popular culture and we get expressions from them.
Yes. High school drug movies. Yeah. That's where we get our lexicon from.
Movies oriented towards teens anyway, you know.
Just interesting that, yeah, here's the quote from Jeff Spicoli, Sean Penn. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Awesome. Totally awesome. Yes. Remember, you had to put a totally in front of it in the 80s. That's right. I forgot the totally part.
Thank you, Mr. Madonna.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. They're very much. Yeah, I know. Really. So So there we go. That's, I guess. But what's interesting is that it has spread upward and downward across the generations. You know what I mean?
What's going on with Madonna and the eye patch?
She has an eye patch now?
Yeah, she keeps wearing an eye patch, I see in pictures. I mean, that is like disability appropriation.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, that's no good.
I mean, you know, I mean, seriously, folks like Representative Crenshaw from Texas, I think he's from Texas, but the gentleman who's, in the House now, who actually lost an eye in combat that wears the patch. It's like, I'm sorry, you know?
I believe this is marketing for her new album, on which she has a photo of her wearing an eye patch.
But it keeps showing up in social media. I mean, I don't look at any of the articles. I just see the thumbnail photos that's there, and I just keep saying, I'm like, why?
It's because she's dropped a
new
album.
Did you just recently have LASIK or something or other? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
it's how she dressed for the album, and apparently it's like...
Oh, she dressed for an album?
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, to promote her new album. I'm looking at it.
As opposed to undressing for an album, yeah.
Yeah, that's so old now. Everybody's done that,
It's apparently her ninth album that's been a bestseller, whatever the term for albums is.
But by the way, Lee, you just invented something new. I've never heard of disability appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm going to have to credit that to you. That is a new one. That is new. I've never heard of it.
Maybe Chris can log that into that website.
You should. Can you go write that?
Noted.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump on the line with Larry in Greenville, who I'm sure is awesome. Hey, Larry.
Well, good morning, Tara, and you are awesome, too. Love you very much. Love your show. I will share with you something that I have shared with only close friends for years, probably 30 years. And I developed these years ago when I was working with 45 women, and there were two men in my department. And it kept me from getting drug in the middle. And these are the three magic words that will allow you to comment on anything and get in any situation and say absolutely nothing. The first magic word is interesting. What do you think about that? Interesting. Or anytime someone asks you about how to get you involved in something, it's interesting. And they go away happy and they say, what did I say? He said it was interesting. The second magic word is unique. What do you think about this situation? You know, is she right or am I right? What do you think? I said, it's unique. It's interesting. The third magic word is when they try to drag you in the middle to where you may think you have to express an opinion. That word is debatable. Well, is she right or am I right? You know, what do you think? It's debatable. Unique. It's interesting. So I have shared you the three magic words, and I'm open for a fourth, but it has to be a word that says absolutely nothing, but sounds like you did. So it's interesting, unique, debatable.
I would add in the immortal words of Mr. Spock, fascinating.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to write that one down. That is fascinating. What did you just say?
That might even qualify, Lee, for a fourth.
that's my nomination there.
And Larry, you developed this list yourself, right?
I developed the list myself. I'm an old radio guy. I worked at WFBC for 10 years, part-time in the QOK back in the day with Russ Castle and Lisa and all of them. So I'm an old character, you know, from Greenville. But I developed the three magic words. They have used me. They have helped me greatly over the years. So just remember, interesting, unique, and debatable, and even maybe fascinating.
And you developed this list as a survival tactic from working with, 40 women or something?
Oh, I worked with 45 women down at Kemet, and I was a setup, and me and one other guy, and they were always backbiting and jumping on one another, and fussing and carrying on. They try to drag you into the middle of it. I said, no way. So I developed the three magic words to keep me out of it.
Well, that is brilliant of you, sir. Do you know why women do this? I read a fascinating archaeological paper on this, anthropological actually, when I was in college. You know why? Because the boys were more valuable because, you know, you didn't have like a retirement system back then, right? So you needed sons that, you know, as you got older, they would like, you know, kill the buffalo and bring it home. And a girl was useless for that, right? So they would feed the they would feed the boys first, right? Because they didn't, if there was some left, the girls got some. So the girls, being less strong themselves, couldn't use, you know, their brawn to fight for food. So they had to learn to manipulate. And tragically, Larry, all the ones that were not manipulative died out. They did. They didn't survive. Yes, so that's why women are the way we are. So you can't blame us because it was totally natural selection.
Love you. Have a great day, Tara. And you too, Lee. Lee's an old guy. Lee knows me, but he doesn't know he does. So
yeah.
Y'all have a great day.
Well, thank you, Larry. And I just want to tell you that was very interesting and completely unique.
Okay.
Anyway.
Another legacy radio person.
Yes, there we go. And he sounded great. He sounded like he was. Okay, let's shut up this last part here. We got to do. Got to do this right, okay? Because we've got another outbreak of turds.
Haven't felt right since the election.
I think they're exaggerating the fears of a Donald Trump presidency.
Do you often feel the urge to burn something down?
In their protests,
firework
becomes the very thing that they're protesting against.
Flares, rocks, bottles were thrown.
Or slap people you don't even know because you think they don't like you?
No, I'm president!
If you've never felt like this before, but do now.
I think they're exaggerating the fears of a Donald Trump presidency.
You may be suffering from a case of Trump utter derangement syndrome, or TERDS. TERDS.
So far, there's no vaccination for this, but we're hoping. Okay. Pro-Trump knitters have been bit knitters. You know, like women who knit?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, knitters. K-N-I-T-T-E-R-S.
Knitters.
Yes, knitters. Yes, okay. K-N-I-T-T-E-R-S have been banned from the worldwide knitting craft community. It's the largest knitting community on Earth. It's called Ravelry. Have you heard about this?
No. Making America Knit Again.
Well, no, that is. It is. And there's 8 million members. And I mean, so important knitting information and intelligence, I guess, is shared among the 8 million members on this site, except they are now banning all forum post projects, patterns, and profiles that constitute support for Trump or his administration.
Okay. Can you do a toboggan for Bernie?
Oh, yeah. No, you still can. Okay. They actually have, and they have the pink pussycats on their hats on there, too. You can
socks for Swalwell.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Support of the Trump administration is undeniably white supremacy, Revelry declared.
Okay.
While pro-Trump patterns and projects may be banned from Revelry, there are plenty of patterns for Obama hats and mittens, not to mention pink hats galore. Anyone know how to crochet the word double standard? Good God, if I had to crochet the word double standard. I think I'd just shoot myself. Anyway, I never got into the knitting sports. But anyway, I love the comment from one woman on there, right? I am very disappointed, she writes, and was frankly in shock about what I was reading this morning. One reader wrote about it. This is a knit and crochet group. Why did you just divide it like that? It's always this. It's always the ones. She writes, you preach acceptance and tolerance in your mission statement. Then do just the opposite. When liberals say tolerance, they don't mean you.
No,
they mean only people like them.
Yes.
They are willing to tolerate people who are exactly like them. That's what tolerance is to a liberal. So another woman writes, so basically they are saying you can have an opinion, but only if it jives with our opinion. Yes, that's exactly how liberalism works.
That's how the yarn is spun.
Yes. Double standard much? I'm not on Revelry, but if I was, I think I'd say good riddance. I'm not saying I think Trump is perfect, but freedom of speech, as long as it is not threatening anyone or endangering life, is a constitutional amendment the last time I checked.
So some of their membership could be unraveling.
Yeah. So, white supremacist knitters are going to have to find somewhere else to go.
They'll have to find someone else to needle.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. This segment has gone on way too long.
Yes.
Which I think is awesome.
2 minutes past break time.
I was going to say kind of unique, but not. I'm always overrunning the segment limits.
Fascinating.
It was fascinating. It was interesting. And it was also, you know, highly debatable whether the management is going to be excited about that. Hey, Jack in Greenville, you still there? He's not there.
Sure, you're worth the wait. Are you there, Tara?
Yeah, I am. You were calling in on Ilhan Omar explaining that by concentration camps, AOC meant, you know, places where people are highly concentrated.
Well, wait a minute. Well, let's be clear. I don't have a new hearing aid. I guess I thought there were constipation camps. They're not constipation camps for the. Because I thought it was constipation, because the kids have been traveling and we've got all the issues with getting laxatives and with the Chinese tariffs, you know, they're all constipated. Because we have those in our border here, too. They're called rest stops. But be that as it may, one of the big issues that you and I have chatted about over the weeks and weeks are the issues with whatever the Chinese tariffs are. Wall Street Journal had a big article front page this past week about fireworks. And how we're going to, what are we going to do about fireworks? Because fireworks are going to be more expensive. So it's got me real nervous about fireworks. But the other thing was as far as the tariffs, and the two nights in a row, our wonderful people at NBC News commented on tomatoes from Mexico. Well, to counter that, Tara, I've come up with a great strategy, and that is to import tomatoes when you're in June, July, August, September, mm-hmm. from Traveler's Rest or Malden or any of the farmers markets around here. So those things with tariffs have just gotten insane, out of bounds. Let me think, outrageous, spectacular stuff. But I got to commend Lee. I wish Lee would run for something that we could support, because I love a lot of stuff he does, especially with the grammar Nazi thing, because there's no such thing as very unique, as Lee would always likes to point out that, I'm sure. And there's people, you know, there are people who would say, I could care less, and I never understood how much less you could care on the caring continuum. I could not care less makes sense.
Well, I think a lot of what you're talking about actually is the grammar Nazi, is producer Chris. It's not Lee, I think, you know, Jack, so.
But keep your kids out of the constipation camps, because when you take them to and I know when you're traveling, I know you travel a lot, and you have to hit those constipation camps at the border, the arrest stop, you know.
Yeah.
So be careful there, because that's very important when you're traveling.
Of course.
And Charles Payne, though, Tara, if you haven't listened to him, he is the voice against the insanity, the outrageous statements on tariffs. They're talking about, oh, your Nike is going to cost a lot more. And he said, no, they're not. He said, Nike's already moved 73% of manufacturing to Vietnam. All these people are moving out. They're not going to put up with it anymore. But it's hilarious. Well, let me use another word. Hilarious to for us to sit back and for you to be the voice of reason, actually, in Lee. You're very capable sidekick there to say all this stuff is ridiculous. It's not happening. It's not happening yet. And I ain't feeling my Nikes or anything else. You know, I'm good. Let me say one quick word, though, please, Tara, about supply chain management. Back in the day when I was growing up and they had these long lines because of OPEC,
uh-huh.
because we were dependent on that supply chain. We were held hostage by they're controlling all the oil and gas, everything. We're not there anymore, certainly. But when we're so dependent on other countries as sole sources, that ain't right. We shouldn't. And sole sources for tomatoes and avocados and those things, that's pretty radical. But we shouldn't be in a sole source situation. I worked in supply chain management as a materials person, but what happened was the military, you can't have sole sources for DOD, for Department of Defense stuff. You can't do that, Tara, because you're vulnerable.
Trump tried to tell us that, but they would not listen. We can only buy from the Chinese because they did give a lot of donations to politicians. That's probably the reason. Okay, I got to cut you off there, Jack. Hate to do that. That was absolutely brilliant finish to the show, though. I appreciate it because the show is about to end. So have a wonderful rest of the day. We will be back at it tomorrow. You know the drill. Same time, same place.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.